जय बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जन बाला गिरिवार जारी। गोपी जन बाला गिरिवार जारी। यशोदानन्दना व्रजजनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दना व्रजजनरञ्जन यमुना तीरा वनचारी। यमुना तीरा वनचारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। Jam Vishnu Pad Padamamsa Parvajagacharya Asto Tasati Shishimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Kijai Jam Vishnu Pad Padamamsa Parvajagacharya Asto Tasati Shishimad Sringa Guru Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Goswami Maharaj Kijai Ananti Koti Vaishnavinda Kijai ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kijai Premsako Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sadi Guru Bhaktivinoda Kijai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shyamakund Radhakund Gita Govardhan Kijai Vrindavan Dham Kijai Mayapur Dham Kijai Navadip Dham Kijai New Dwarka Dham Kijai Their Divine Lordship Shri Shri Rukmini Dwarkadish Kijai Their Divine Lordship Shri Shri Jagannath Baldev Shrimati Subhadra Kijai Their Divine Lordship Shri Shri Gornitai Kijai Granthara Shrimad Bhagavatam Kijai Transcendental Book Distribution Kijai Harinam Sankirtan Jagi Kijai, Transcendental Prasadam Distribution Kijai, Gaura Premananda Hari Haribo. All glories to all the Sema devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to all the Sema devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to all the Sema devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the third canto, chapter 15. We're on text number 40. So today we're going to explore the qualities and the appearances and enchanting aspects of Lord Krishna and his incarnations. And then we'll talk about one important, huge lesson. So today's class is entitled Lovely. Valgu is the Sanskrit word. Lovely. This is Krishna about his beauty. So we'll go on right to the verse. Pitam suke prituninatam natam bini vishpuranta. Kanchali birvirutuya vina malayacha. Valgu prokoshta vilayam vinata sutamse. Vinyasta hastam itarena dunanam abjam. Pitam suke pritunitam bini vishpurantya. Kanchali birvurutaya vinaya arvana malaya cha. Valgu prokoshta vilayam vinata stutamse. Vinata sutamse. Vinyasta hastamitarena dunanam abjam. Stamitarena dunanam abjam. Pitam suke pritunitam bini vishparanantya. Kanchali birvirutaya vinamalaya cha. Valgu prokoshta vilayam vinata sutamse. Vinyasta hastamitarena dunanam abjam. Vinasta hastam itarena dunanam abjam. Pitam suke pritunitam bini vishpurantya. Kanchali birvirutaya vanamalaya cha. Valgu prokoshta vilayam vinata sutamse. Vinasta hastam itarena dunanam abjam. Pitam suke pritunitam bini vishpurantya. Kanchali birvirutaya vanamalaya cha. Valgu prokoshta valayam vinata sutamse. Vinasta hastam itarena dunanam abjam. Vitam suke pritunitam bini vishpurantya. Kanchali birvirutaya vanamalaya cha. Valgu prokoshta valayam vinata sutamse. Vinyasta hastam itarena dunanam bhajam. Vitam suke pituni tambini vishparantya. Kanchali birvirutaya vanamalaya cha. Vagu prakoshta valayam vanata sutamse. Vinyasta hasta mitarena dunanam abjam. Vitam suke pituni tambini vishpurantya. Kanchali birvirutaya vanamalaya cha. Vagu prakoshta valayam vinata sutamse. Vinyasta hasta mitarena dunanam abjam. Vaishnavis. Vanamalaya cha. Vagu prakoshta valayam vinata sutamse. Vinyasta hastam itarena dunanam abjam. Pitam suke pritunitam bini vishpurantya. Kinchali birvitaya vanamalaya cha. Vagu prakoshta valayam vinata sutamse. Vinyasta hasta mitarena dunanam abjam. Prakoshta batayama tama salamse. Stamitarena dunanam abjam. Pita amsuke. Covered with a yellow cloth. Pritu nitambini. On his large hips, Vishparantaya, shining brightly, Kancha, with a girdle, Alibi, by the bees, Virutaya, humming, Vanamalaya, with a garland of fresh flowers, Cha and Valgu, lovely, Prakoshta, wrists, Valayam, bracelets, Vinata Sutta, of Garuda, the son of Vinata, Amse, on the shoulder, Vinyasta, rested, Hastam, one hand, Itarena, with another hand, Dunanam, being twirled, Abjam, a lotus flower. Translation. He was adorned with a girdle that shone brightly on the yellow cloth covering his large hips. He wore a garland of fresh flowers, which was distinguished by humming bees. His lovely wrists were graced with bracelets, and he rested one of his hands on the shoulder of Garuda, his carrier, and twirled a lotus with another hand. Purport. Here is a full description of the personality of Godhead as personally experienced by the sages. The Lord's personal body was covered with yellow robes, and his waist was thin. In Vaikuntha, wherever there is a flower garland on the chest of the personality of Godhead, or any one of his associates, it is described that the humming bees are there. All these features are very beautiful and attractive for the devotees. One of the Lord's hands rested on his carrier Garuda, and in another hand, he twirled a lotus flower. These are the personal characteristics of the personality of Godhead, Narayana. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitamyena Bhutale Swarmupukadamayam Dadate Swapadantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sari Guru Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakabha Tubhishtha Kripa Sindhu Bhacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So the verse again. He was adorned with a girdle that shone brightly on the yellow cloth covering his large hips, and he wore a garland of fresh flowers which was distinguished by humming bees. His lovely wrists were graced with bracelets, and he rested one of his hands on the shoulder of Garuda, his carrier, and twirled a lotus with another hand. Okay, so this third canto is very interesting. There is one devotee, S.B. Keshava Maharaj. He summarized all the different cantos in different words, like acronyms. So he talks about this third canto as saves. So we see in his Krishna's pastimes, he's repeatedly saving his devotees from calamities and dangers, and even saving demons like Putana who come to kill him. And so we see here in this particular chapters we've been reading, when Lord Vrahadeva appeared, he saved the earth from the depths of the Garbhodak ocean, and he saved the living entities in the universe by killing Hiranyaksha. That was in chapters 13 to 19. And then towards the end of this chapter, we'll read about how Kapiladeva appeared from Devahuti's womb and saved his mother by instructing her in Sankhya Yoga. So that's chapters 25 to 33. So in this particular verse today, and in this particular chapter, we're seeing that there was a quarrel between the doorman and the sages, and it was taken a different turn, and therefore Narayana appeared, and he, right on the spot there, to stop further aggravation, so that his devotees, the doorman, might not be vanquished for good. So there's various incarnations, like different avatars. They descend to save the innocent souls. And simply by hearing of their pastimes and the teachings of these different avatars, the eager hearer is saved from the perpetual cycle of birth and death. So as soon as we take up Krishna consciousness, Krishna begins personally taking care of you. This is what Prabhupada says in the Laws of Nature in Chapter 1. He says, he promised in Bhagavad Gita, 1866, I will take care of you. I will save you from all sinful reactions. Do not worry. Because we had so many lives in this material world, we are suffering under heaps of sinful reactions. But as you surrender to Krishna, he immediately takes care of you and nullifies all your sinful reactions. Krishna says, don't hesitate. Don't think, oh, I've committed so many sins. How can Krishna save me? No, Krishna is all-powerful. He can save you. Your duty is to surrender to him and without any reservation, dedicate your life to his service. Then Krishna will save you without a doubt. So if you noticed, I mentioned how he describes this third canto as saves. So in the first four chapters, there's different stories of the Supreme. And in the fifth to the 12th chapters, there's assembly and activation, which talks about the creation of the different elements and all the creation of the living entities. And then the 13 chapters to the 19 chapters, and we're in the 15th chapter now, it's all about Vrahadev and the story behind that. And then as it goes on, the E stands for expanding entities, is how he expands, populates universe. And then towards the end, the S is Sankhya Yoga. So there's saves there. So getting right to this particular chapter, we see here, we're in this section right here, where the Lord arrived and gave darshan to the four Kumaras. And then we're right in the section here, 37 to 42, it's all about the beauty of the Lord. So this is what we're going to discuss in this chapter, descriptions of the kingdom of God. But, and also here, in text 39 to 41, it's describing the divine qualities and the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. And it's talking about just his exquisite beauty and charm and how he captivates the hearts of his devotees and the demigods. So we're going to emphasize his divine attributes here. And so we could just see here his face. That's the feature and the description. Auspicious, pleasing, most desirable, blessing everyone. His glance, touching the core of hearts. His complexion is blackish. Broad chest is a residence of Lakshmi. His waist, yellow cloth with a shining girdle. His neck, fresh garland surrounded by bees, charming necklace, and Kaustubha jewel. His hands, one resting on the shoulder of Garuda and another twirling a lotus. This is a very interesting reason why he's doing this. We'll explain later. And then his cheeks enhance the beauty of the Markara earrings, which outshone the lightning. And the nose is prominent, and his head is gem-studded crown. So it's nice to just ponder these different and meditate on these different qualities of Krishna. So, but first, as I mentioned, there's one important thing we have learned from this chapter, and I think it's worth repeating, and many of you may guess, that there's many kinds of offenses, but the greatest offense is to offend the devotee of the Lord, because the doormen were also devotees of the Lord. They were able to understand their mistake, and they were terrified when the four Kumaras were ready to curse them. So Prabhupada writes in verse 39, to commit an offense against a devotee is very dangerous in devotional service. Lord Chaitanya therefore said that an offense to a devotee is just like a mad elephant run loose. When a mad elephant enters a garden, it tramples all the plants. Similarly, an offense unto the feet of a pure devotee murders one's position in devotional service. On the part of the Lord, there was no offended mood because he doesn't accept any offense created by a sincere devotee. But a devotee should be very cautious of committing offenses at the feet of another devotee. So this is where we have to be very careful. So this is the elephant is the most feared animal in the jungle, even more than tigers and leopards and snakes. Because the male elephant, as Rana Swami describes, because he's lived in the jungles, he said that they're very, very much feared because the male elephant, for some reason or other, it just goes crazy. It just goes crazy and it just goes mad. And you don't know what it's going to do. It just destroys everything. So that's like an offense to a devotee. So there's other incidences where devotees were cursed. And we see Mother Parvati, she cursed Maharaj Chitraketu. So, unfortunately. But this is what she said. O impudent one, my dear son, now take birth in a low, sinful family of demons so that you will not commit such an offense again toward exalted, saintly persons in this world. So Prabhupada, in the purport there again, quotes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying how this is the Hatimata, the mad elephant. So, you know, when it enters the garden, you don't know what to do. So, how it stops our devotional service. So this is what happened. He was cursed to become this demon. You remember his name? Vritasura, yeah. So this is, he was born and killed by Indra. But he was a devotee, and he actually preached to Lord Indra. So it's an interesting pastime. And another pastime in the Srimad Bhagavatam is, here we see Jatabharat. And the king there was actually offended him, and he realized that this was a great devotee. And because he had some knowledge, he immediately surrendered at his lotus feet. And this is what the king said. He said, "My dear sir, I'm not at all afraid of the thunderbolt of King Indra, nor am I afraid of the serpentine piercing trident of Lord Shiva. I do not care about the punishment of Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, nor am I afraid of fire, scorching sun, moon, wind, nor the weapons of Kuvera. Yet I'm afraid of offending a Brahmana. I'm very much afraid of this." So again, Srila Prabhupada quotes Lord Chaitanya in the purport about this Hatimata and how we should be very careful. It's a very dangerous offense. So that's one thing we have to be very, very careful. And there's a quote here. I think let's put it on. So here's the verse. Actually, it's quoting. Yari Vaishnava Aparada Huti Hatimata Upare Vachinde Tarasukiyaya Pata. So if a devotee commits an offense at the feet of a Vaishnava while cultivating the creeper of devotional service in the material world, his offense is compared to a mad elephant that uproots the creeper and breaks it. In this way, the leaves of the creeper are dried up. So Prabhupada gives a really brilliant purport to this particular verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I'd like to read that, and then we'll end with this for as far as this one lesson we have to learn. So he writes there, "By his personal example, Narottama Das Thakur stresses that a devotee must always remember to please his predecessor, Acharya. The Goswamis are represented by one spiritual master. One cannot be an Acharya, spiritual master, without following strictly in the disciplic succession of the Acharyas. One who is actually serious about advancing in devotional service should desire only to satisfy the previous Acharyas. Echaya Goshani Yara Muitara Das. One should always think of oneself as a servant of the Acharyas and think this. One should live in a society of Vaishnavas." So this is from Madhya 1380, he's quoting. "So however, if one thinks that he has become very mature and can live separate from the association of Vaishnavas and thus gives up all the regulated principles due to offending a Vaishnava, one's position becomes very dangerous. Offenses against the holy name are explained in Adi Lila chapter 8, verse 24. Giving up the regulated principles and living according to one's whims is compared to a mad elephant, which by force uproots the bhakti lata and breaks it to pieces. In this way, the bhakti lata shrivels up. Such an offense is especially created when one disobeys the instructions of the spiritual master. This is called guru avagna. The devotee must therefore be very careful not to commit offenses against the spiritual master by disobeying his instructions. As soon as one is deviated from the instructions of the spiritual master, the uprooting of the bhakti lata begins, and gradually all the leaves dry up." Okay, so back to Narayana's beauty. It surpasses even that of the goddess of Lakshmi. She's a goddess of fortune. It's described that Narayana's beauty is so enchanting that it surpasses this beautiful goddess of fortune and making him Madana Mohana, the enchanter of Cupid. So this Lord's beauty is so super excellent. And it's described even Krishna has become enchanted by the beauty of his devotee Radharani. And the devotee sages, the Kumaras, continuously gaze upon the Lord's beauty without satiation. And they joyously bowing down at his lotus feet. So this is the pride of Lakshmi, and her beauty has been eclipsed by the beauty of the Lord. This is what the acharyas say, that how they understood the English language so well. Just how these things are written. What to speak of, you know, the Sanskrit. They're trying to... Actually, these are the English translations of the Sanskrit. And it says, the Lord is a matter for conjecture in the minds, virachitam, of his own devotees. This is the meaning given by Sridhar Swami. According to Jiva Goswami, the first line means Lakshmi, additionally Upa, exhibiting Shristam, pride, Utsmitam, on having Vishnu endowed with such beauty as her husband. So that's nicely described there. And also it's mentioned how by the intelligence of those who serve the body, the swanam, they must judge how to arrange various eternal ornaments and clothing on his body, and that's how his beauty is created. So this is how the beauty of the limbs of Krishna is described. So just see how we're being trained up by dressing and beautifying the Supreme Lord very intelligently, beautifully, carefully, arranging all the ornaments, the clothes and the garlands, everything on the deity like that. So this is what this means, that by the intelligence of those who serve the body, that's how he becomes more beautiful. So that's very nice. So here we see the devotee sages, they're just continuously gazing upon the Lord's beauty without satiation. And they were joyously bowing down to his lotus feet. So it's said that the beauty of Narayana is many times magnified, as we mentioned, by the intelligence of the devotees, which is very interesting. So it's so attractive that it defeated the pride of the goddess of fortune. So this is how it's described there. And what's happening here is that the Lord is being experienced by these Kumaras. They're having a yogic experience. It's described there that the face of the Lord appeared like the inside of a blue lotus, and that his smile appeared to be like a blossoming jasmine flower. And after they saw this, they were just completely satisfied. And they didn't want to see him. You know, it's just they couldn't see anything else. And then they were looking at his nails, and they resembled rubies. And, you know, they just were looking again and again at his transcendental body and just meditating on his personal features. So this is the yogic experience of the Kumaras. So this is what another purport by the Acharyas it describes here. Remember we mentioned about his twirling the lotus, and one hand is on Garuda. So this is what's described, they say here. In his right hand, he was twirling a lotus. This indicated that he made the fixed realization of Brahman in the lotus of their hearts insignificant by showing them his sweetness. So this is like a quote Krishna, they're saying that Krishna's joking. Since you are fixed in the bliss of impersonal realization, convinced that it is the best, why do you disturb your hearts? Why don't you steady yourselves? Do not give up your steadiness in Brahman. So this is Vishnu was joking with the four Kumaras by twirling his lotus. He captured their hearts with that, you know, in other words, the lotus of their hearts. So let's see. And also there's an interesting thing they said about the bees in the garland. So then over that was placed a garland surrounded by humming bees. The garland and then the bees became the object of attention. The bees have been given dominion over all things by the Lord. So that's interesting in the spiritual world. So that's nice. So first, they're attracted to the hips, and then the hips, there was placed yellow cloth. And then the focus of attention was on the shining belt, and then became that object of attention. Then over that, there was a garland, and then over that you meditate on the bees. So this is how the different objects of meditation. So it's described that Krishna's smiling face is compared to the moon above an ocean, which is even more extraordinary than the ocean itself. So we see there's many poetic comparisons made between Krishna's beautiful bodily features and the phases of the moon, like his face being the prime moon, than other parts of his bodies like half moons or full moons like that. So it's described there. So this transcendental form is compared to an ocean. and a particularly extraordinary vision of the moon above that ocean. So Krishna's face is even more extraordinary vision is his smile. So more extraordinary than his face is his smile, which is sweeter than sweet, and it's like the shining beam of moonlight. So this is what Krishna's smile is like. So there's a nice verse that I'll say, but there's one thing here. It says, the dancing features of his face surpass all other moons and expand the marketplace of full moons. Although priceless, the nectar of Krishna's face is distributed to everyone. Some purchase the moon rays of his sweet smiles, and others purchase the nectar of his lips. Thus he pleases everyone. So these are different quotes from the 10th canto. So it's interesting how I just happened to be reading the Madhya Lila, chapter 21. And it talks all about the opulence and sweetness of Krishna. And so since we're discussing the beautiful form of the Lord, you know, I would like to, this is what we're getting some of that information. It's bringing it out more and more. So there's a verse from that Madhya Lila. And this is how it goes. Madaram madaram bapurashavi bor madaram madaram badadam madaram marugandhi maru mridushmitya metadaho madaram 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 madaram. Oh my Lord, the transcendental body of Krishna is very sweet, and his face is sweeter than his body. But his soft smile, which has the fragrance of honey, is sweeter still. So this is what Lord Chaitanya was acting like a madman in front of Sanatana Goswami, and he was describing all these different things. And he's saying, I'm mad because, I am just realizing Krishna, so I'm speaking like a madman, but you get to hear about this. So that's nice. So this is Krishna. Krishna's body is a city of attractive features and is sweeter than sweet. His face, which is like the moon, is sweeter still, and the supremely sweet, gentle smile on his moon-like face is like rays of moonshine. So this is Krishna. But it's described that neither the great yogis nor the demigods can taste the sweetness of Krishna's pastimes. So you just see these rays of Krishna's face is shining all the way up to the higher planets. And it's described that Krishna's face is compared to the king of all moons. And his forehead is considered half a moon. And his fingernails and toenails are described as many full moons. And Krishna's dancing face features surpass all other full moons. And then it said, Krishna's eyes are like the ministers of the king moon. So these are verses from the Madhya Lila, chapter 21. So it goes to the heavenly planets, and Krishna's beauty, even this, his rays extend even into the spiritual world, into the Vaikuntha Lokas. It's described that even a fraction of Krishna's beauty can merge the three worlds in an ocean of love. And his body, the beauty attracts all living entities. So not only does it attract like demigods, living entities in the material world, but also it attracts the Narayans in the spiritual world. So this is the beauty of Krishna. It's so sweet. So it's described that in the Madhya Lila that if one gets an opportunity to hear about the sweetness of Krishna, you know, he will certainly be eligible to float in the transcendentally blissful ocean of love of God. So this is Krishna's bodily features, his face, his smile, and even the sound of his flute are incredibly sweet and attractive. And this is what happens. He attracts the gopis. The flute sound is always prominent in their ears. And they can't hear anything else. They just hear that holy, sweet sound of Krishna. And this flute vibration, it actually represents the Hare Krishna Ma Mantra. So Prabhupada says that a serious devotee of the Lord who chants and hears this transcendental vibration becomes so accustomed to it that he cannot divert his attention to any other subject matter except to the blissful characteristics and paraphernalia of Krishna. So this is the gopis. And this is what happens. Krishna enjoys many pastimes in Vrindavan, especially the rasa dance with the gopis, which exhibits the highest spiritual mellows. So Lord Chaitanya was telling Sanatana Goswami, he was quoting from the Srimad Bhagavatam, what austerities must the gopis have performed? With their eyes, they always drink the nectar of the form of Lord Krishna, which is the essence of the loveliness and is not to be equaled or surpassed. So there's so much about the sweetness of Krishna, so many beautiful poems, but we don't have time, so we'll just continue with a couple more here. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was overwhelmed while explaining Krishna's sweetness to Sanatana Goswami, and he was losing external consciousness. So this is when he appeared to be like a madman. So we'll be enjoying this pastime of Lord Jagannath comes out and he gives his darshan, his glance to everybody so that they can also enter into an ocean of nectar. So this is, then they can float in the transcendental bliss of love of God. So I mentioned an acronym at the beginning of lovely, so we just go through that real quickly. So lovely, the L, it stands for Lord Krishna's divine qualities, you know, his various divine attributes, virtues, his beauty, his humility, his mercy, his patience, expert intelligence. And then the O is for ocean of sweetness. It signifies the incomparable sweetness and charm of his personality and is compared to be like an ocean of nectar. And then V is like the vibration of Krishna's flute. It represents enchanting sound and melody, you know, and it captivates the hearts of his devotees and it symbolizes divine love. And then E stands for enchanting manifestations of Narayan that we're experiencing here, Narayana. And it depicts his divine appearance and glories, is showcasing his enchanting and majestic, you know, appearance, what he wears, everything. And then the L is for loving admiration by the devotees. So it represents or emphasizes the deep devotion and admiration exhibited by the sages towards Narayan. And then Y is the yogic experience of the Kumaras that we refer to, their ecstatic experience. They're overwhelmed by the beauty of the Lord. So in general, this acronym highlights the divine qualities, his enchanting aspects, and the adoration experienced by the devotees, and symbolizing the essence of the manifestation, of his manifestation and glories. So that's the wonderful beauty of Krishna. You know, and there's so many things we could describe, but this is Krishna's face is compared to the king of all moons. His body is considered the throne and governing all society of moons, and his different bodily parts are likened to moons. His flute vibration is like a magical bird, and it nestles in the gopis' ears, and they're so captivated, their minds can't sway away from Krishna's melody. So what they do is they sway towards Krishna. They're just attracted like that. So I'd like to end there and see if there's any comments or questions. Okay. Well, thank you again for your kind attention. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.